Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock, September 25th, 2025. This is an informal hearing regarding West River Telecom's two requests regarding the Wahpeton, North Dakota exchange, one for a certificate of public convenience of necessity, one for ETC status, one case is PU-25-185, one is PU-25-190. In a couple minutes here, we'll go around and identify everybody in the room, but all three commissioners are here. Commissioner Haugenhofer, did you have any opening comments? Commissioner Kringstad? Okay. We'll go around and identify everybody in the room, at least who's anticipates speaking for the record, please.
Victor Shook with PSC staff. And just to clarify, I think you just misspoke. You said West River, and this is for Red River Telecommunications.
Oops. Well,
Freudian slip.
Old habits die hard. thank you for correcting me.
Awesome. Hello, commissioners. My name is Carrie Kleingartner. I'm the sales and marketing manager at Red River Communications.
Carrie, are you a C-A-R or a K?
K-A-R-I. The Norwegian way.
Kari.
Yes.
Okay, correct. Tom?
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Stanelson, general manager and CEO of Red River Communications.
Hello, my name is Jenna Lovgren, a customer experience supervisor at Red River Communications.
Dennis Mitchell, outside plant manager, Red River Communications.
Donna Thiel, executive assistant, Red River Communications.
Keith Larson, MLGC.
Derek Balua, Beck Communications.
Jesse Gunch, Beck Communications.
Carissa Swenson, Broadband Association of North Dakota.
Okay, so in an informal hearing like this, because some of you may not have experienced one, this involves only undisputed information. I don't see anybody from another side here, so probably unlikely, unless maybe with us and staff there's some legal detail or something, but in any event, if anything comes up that is factually disputed, we'll have to suspend this and notice a formal hearing. So with that, everyone's been identified, so I'll turn it over to whoever wants to lead your presentation.
Thank you. Are you okay if I stand, sir?
I'm okay with you standing, sitting, but not lying down.
Well, thank you. Members of the commission. Okay.
In the meantime, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
I want to catch you afterwards. I got a question for you.
Perfect.
So don't let me forget.
Members of the commission? You're fine. Members of the commission, thank you for allowing us. We're excited to present today. We think we're going to bring a lot of facts that will support our situation in this case. So with that, we shrunk it down from 250 slides to 50. So we were thinking of you. No. With that, we'll get started. As indicated earlier, I'm Tom Stanelson, CEO and General Manager. With me today that will be speaking are Carrie Kleingartner and Jenna Lovgren, and also just in attendance is Dennis Mitchell and Donna Thiel. A little bit about me. I have been in the industry for over 35 years. I've worked for three different telecommunications companies serving rural areas. And I've actually done telecommunications in five different states. So just a little bit about me. We're going to start off with, you're probably familiar, but we felt it was relevant for us to do this. We're just going to talk a little bit about who we are. Red River Communications, we are 74-year-old telecommunications cooperative based in Abercrombie, North Dakota. I believe you're familiar with the cooperative statutes in North Dakota, and we are governed by a board of 9 directors. You'll see a picture of them up here on the screen. We serve approximately 22 communities across North Dakota and Minnesota. We're pretty sure they all have a zip code, but there's all in there. Some of those are little dots on the map, but we proudly serve them. Broadband infrastructure investment of about $71 million, most of that over the last 20 years preparing for this. Contributions to the local economy, we believe we contribute probably north of $10 million to the southern end of the Red River Valley on an annual basis. That's all in, that's salaries, that's, you know, everything from the hardware store to fuel to supplies and everything. Current employee count of Red River Communications, 35 people. A little bit of history. In the essence of time, I'm not going to walk through every line item, but we were founded on July 28th, 1951, and we do celebrate that day on an annual basis, a little breakfast or lunch, and we call it Founders Day. So we're proud of that. You know, in the essence, a little fun fact. I think the commission always likes some fun facts. In 1965, our records show that the Great Bend Exchange was the first exchange with all buried telecommunications plant in North Dakota. So I was not around at that time, even though I've been around a long time. But that's what our history indicates. Again, not belaboring every line item. What we want to show by showing you this history is we stand in front of you as a company that has continually seen growth, continually changed, continually merged or changed with the times and brought new innovative technology for those times continually as we continued to change through that history. The other thing that we really want to draw attention to is 2025. That is when we have completion of the mainline fiber, specifically in the Wahpeton community. And that's we did not want to stand in front of you here until we had all mainline infrastructure in the entire exchange complete. And when I speak of that, that's specifically the Wahpeton Exchange. And just in the essence of time and walking through that, all of this will be left with you. This is our presentation, and we will provide that to you and the staff, and you guys can look at that as you will. For that history, it's all available on our website at redrivercom.com, and there's a history tab. Speak a little bit now more just about the Wahpeton Exchange and Red River Communications. We've provided you with a map. The blue area is the exchange itself. It covers almost 6 township or portions of 6 township, if you will. That is a long, what I would describe as a longer, narrow exchange bordering along the Red River for most of it. A little bit about the history of the Wahpeton Exchange. Our records show that the first telephone service came to Wahpeton in the very early 1900s. Kind of interesting of the state and the development on the eastern part there. Other than that, you know, it is relevant to say our review did indicate that the Public Service Commission of North Dakota has received complaints about CenturyLink's phone service in that exchange, and those were formal complaints filed with you all. Also, 2021 is a milestone for the Wahpeton Exchange, as that is when Red River Communications acquired both the customers and the assets of 702 Communications. And that was in both what we call the Twin Towns, so that was in Breckenridge, Minnesota as well. But that was we're going to talk a little bit more about the history of Red River Communications and this exchange, but that is what really vaulted us to get to this point where we can stand in front of you today. Our build, our acquirement of customers has really expedited ever since that time. You know, just when we talk about Wahpeton and what makes that special both to us as well as the state, it is the manufacturing hub of the region, and I believe it's the manufacturing hub of North Dakota. That's not a derogatory statement to other parts of the state, but that community is very important in that regards with the manufacturing. We bring highlight to one fact. That is home of an international company, or its North American headquarters, for Vaderstad Manufacturing. And that is a Sweden-based company. Their North American headquarters are located in Wahpeton. The origins of that company through being acquired is another name that you'll probably be familiar with, Wilrich. Wilrich was a manufacturing of agriculture equipment in that region. So we believe because of that, they need premier telecommunication services. That if they're going to continue to maintain their stature of having manufacturing businesses come and stay in their community, it's going to be important to have somebody supporting them. We're going to talk a little bit about our timeline in Wahpeton, because we didn't just wake up in April and say we wanted to do this. We stand in front of you as a company that we've been working on this for a long time. It really probably in some way, shape, or form could say it started before 2009, but a major milestone was when Red River Communications acquired a wireless internet service provider that gave us coverage, gave our company coverage in the rural parts of the Wahpeton Exchange. So again, in today's day and age, subpar technology is the way we describe it, but that is how we started there. Again, you can look through different line items here. Again, we do talk about the 2021 timer frame of us acquiring the assets as well as customers of Wahpeton. 2021 was a major milestone of starting major construction. And again, we draw attention to 2025 when the mainline infrastructure is complete. And when I speak of mainline infrastructure, that is broadband fiber optic cable infrastructure. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but also 2023 should be noted as the execution or the award of the North Dakota ARPA grant coming through the Capital Projects Fund. And I know the chairman recalls that because of conversations that made it all the way up to this floor of getting that through the legislature. We'd like the record to show this history proves that Red River Communications can and will provide adequate proposed telecommunication service, as the commission has found in the past, we believe, with other areas that we serve in the southern end of the Red River Valley. A little bit more about Red River and the Wahpeton Exchange. Specifically, about $15.3 million worth of broadband infrastructure specifically inside that Wahpeton Exchange. That is all both city and rural. And that $15.3 million includes those ARPA funds that we just referenced. There's locations, I won't read it line item for line item here, but specifics about the exchange. And I'm just going to take a minute to say, as we stand before you today, we believe our reputation is honorable here in this office, but everything we're providing you, we are validating against a source or a second there. This source of this data is coming from the CostQuest or the FCC Fabric, which is right off of the broadband map that the FCC has been working on for quite some time. CostQuest, I know you're familiar with, is they have the contract to help maintain that. Wahpeton Exchange is about 300 square miles, probably a large exchange, really, for in the Red River Valley with the population base.
Can I ask a quick question on
absolutely
the count there? So the locations for residential business, are those simply serviceable addresses? That's not intended to be like the number of residents.
That is correct. That is locations.
Okay.
Locations, yes. And we'll note, so about 2,656 residential locations. That does not include the 170 multi-dwelling structures those are not living quarters. Those are the structures themselves. There's different level number of apartments or what have you in their condos. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely, but I thought of another one if I can.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
So do you service the college?
We do.
We do.
That's a long tenured relationship, longer than just 2021. That was a state contract or a state agreement to provide that college service through Dakota Carrier Network as our partnership.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, just a couple of fun facts. About 90 miles of fiber we have put just inside the town city limits, and about another 224 miles in the rural. So that's over 300 miles of fiber optic cable that has been placed in that exchange that prepares us to be able to stand in front of you today. We'll talk a little bit more about the network. Picture of the courthouse there, Richland County Courthouse. But what we're going to talk about is we are serving critical community services, Richland County Courthouse, the EMS, Richland County Sheriff, Wahpeton Police Department, PSAPs that are connected in through Suffragette, the college, as Victor had mentioned. And what that does is that makes sure we build a network that has reliability, redundancy, and prepared for the reliance and the durability of time to be able to serve those and make sure that community is served. The other thing that we don't only invest in fiber when we talk to broadband, we help ensure there is the latest Wi-Fi technology that is provided on the end of it. I think it goes to show just in here, no one really wants to be tethered to a cord or a wire anymore. And if you're going to have a good broadband connection, or experience that in a pleasurable way, you're going to need to have good Wi-Fi. And we want to make sure that we have expressed today, part of that is making sure we can provide that technology as well. We'd also like it to be noted that Red River Communications has proven to possess the technical, financial, and managerial ability to provide telecommunication services in the Wahpeton Exchange. A little bit more about the network. On the right-hand side of this slide, you'll see, I'm going to call that a schematic. The blue lines are broadband infrastructure or buried fiber optic cable, if you will. And what we're highlighting here, obviously, I think you all can see it. There's Wahpeton about in the middle there, Abercrombie to the north. But we're really showing you the southern end of the Red River Valley, south from Fargo. And what we want to talk about here is there is five separate fiber optic transport routes leading in or out of the community of Wahpeton. And each route is capable of transporting multiple 100 gig connections. Those 100 gig connections are designed and ready to be expanded to 400 gig with the correct licensing and laser changeouts. So this network has been designed, and that's the other thing about it, this network allows us to just flow right into Wahpeton because of our regulated service area that is most of Richland County, and it was designed to fit right into that. Now, you might ask, what does that mean, Tom, when you're saying 100 gig and multiples and 400 gig? This network was designed to be able to have everybody in that exchange use their phone service or browse the internet at the same time with a very good experience, both now and in the future. As I told you earlier, we're here to validate or help you validate everything we say. One of the things we had asked for was an engineering certification that comes from Nathan Weber, Senior Vice President of Engineering at Vantage Point Solutions. You all may be familiar with them. They've had a long-standing relationship with Red River Communications. They've also done work throughout multiple of the Broadband Association of North Dakota companies. And I won't bore you with reading that letter line for line that is in your information and in your packet, but it helps validate from a professional engineer what I'm telling you, how our network has been designed. So with this, and we've told you this, you're probably asking, so why overbuild CenturyLink in Wahpeton? Red River Communications decided to enter the Wahpeton Exchange for several reasons. There has been a demand that has been called upon us by Wahpeton residents and businesses for many years, well over 20 years, them asking us, why can't you come take care of us the way you take care of the rest of your customers? We just as has been discussed, the FCC map, at the time, most of the Wahpeton Exchange was categorized as underserved or unserved. Now, that's a FCC Congress-mandated speeds and broadband map being administered by the FCC. As I've indicated, the exchange is located near our cooperative service area that we already have. It makes it a great fit. It makes it make sense for Red River to be the one that steps up and takes care of this community. Also, we were aware, because where we live, work, there had been a lack of infrastructure investment by CenturyLink. We knew it. We live there. We watch it. We listen to the complaints. We knew there had been complaints filed with you all right here by those same customers that were talking to us. There was no noticeable innovation or forward thinking from CenturyLink. It was not there. We'd like the record to show we believe Red River Communications has proven to have the fitness and ability to provide local exchange telecommunications in the Wahpeton Exchange. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Carrie Kleingartner, Sales and Marketing Manager, and she'll talk about brand and community involvement.
Okay. Like we have to have this pretty close, huh? Okay. Hi, guys. Like Tom said, my name is Carrie Kleingartner, and I know we've met a few times, but just give me a minute, and I'm going to introduce myself and just let you know why I'm qualified to talk about this portion of our presentation. Again, my name is Carrie Kleingartner. I am the Sales and Marketing Manager at Red River Communications. I've had, well, don't do the math, but about 24 years of marketing experience in a variety of different industries. First started out in real estate in the Fargo market. I've been in equipment and manufacturing marketing in a few different agency situations. So I have had many, many years of doing this kind of thing, marketing and branding. And in 2021, I had the opportunity to join Red River Communications. And it's been an excellent decision, I have to say. One of the other things, not necessarily a resume item, but I just want to say that I actually grew up in this service territory. I went to high school at Richland 44, which is in our service territory. My parents have been members of our cooperative for over 45 years. And when my husband and I moved back, we also became members in 2012. So I have lots of experience with the company. I know all of the good work they've been doing for years and years, and it's been a pleasure to join the team and to be able to spread the good word about all of the things that we do. So that's a little bit about me. Let me get into my presentation about our sales, marketing, and community engagement efforts for our company, but most specifically in the Wahpeton Exchange. So as my title says, the first topic I'm going to talk about is our sales strategy. So when we talk about sales at Red River Communications, we really look at it not as a sales tactic or a sales approach. It's really about education. When you're trying to sell something as abstract as broadband or fiber or connectivity, people don't know all these fancy terms that we're talking about. So really, it's a lot of education. It's taking the time to really sit down in somebody's living room across their kitchen table, have a cup of coffee, and really walk them through the different service options that we have and the simple sign-up process that we've created. You can see right here, this gentleman right here in this fun little hat, that is Wayne Steiner, and he is our residential sales associate, and he is an integrated member of our community, the Wahpeton Exchange specifically. He's actually been an educator in the community, both on the high school and on the college level, and it's so funny. You take Wayne somewhere, and he knows people everywhere. They're like, oh, Mr. Steiner. So, you know, with that, that gives our team an additional level of trust and connection into the community. And we think that's something that really sets us apart in our sales efforts. Also, we like to talk about our upfront, transparent pricing and our very clear terms and conditions that we give our customers. So when they're signing up for service, they know exactly what they're going to be getting from Red River Communications. Speaking of transparency, I just thought I'd throw this into my slide deck here. You guys are going to get a copy of it. I have jump drives for each of you to take. We'll have all of the documents that we have presented to you here today, the letters of support, everything, so you could read them in detail if you would like. This is also included, but this is just a list of our current pricing structure. So I've also included both the broadband and our local phone service rates here. So you can see this is exactly what our customers see. So with our broadband rates, there's no tax applied. So this is what they see. We have the four different levels for our residential, all which are symmetrical. And I'm not sure if you understand what that term means. It means equal upload and download speeds. So all of our speeds are symmetrical, both on our business and our residential side. And we have managed Wi-Fi, which Tom touched on a little bit. And then we have an ultimate managed Wi-Fi, which is got enhanced parental controls, which us parents really like, and security features. And then on the phone side, we have a really great phone system with a nice flat rate, includes lots of great features. And that is available both on the residential side and on the business side. Different pricing for each just because this is a different system. And then recently, we have been offering a really great, robust hosted phone system. And on the business side, we have an excellent business sales consultant that we use. And she's got over 20 years of experience. She really sits down with a customer when they come and approach Red River Communication with technology needs or phone communication needs. And she really gives them a very detailed and custom approach. So if they don't fit one of these little basic, if it's not just a mom and pop shop, they have more of an enterprise type business, she'll work with her and our technology team and they'll customize a solution for them, both on the phone and on the broadband side. It has been really well received in the Wahpeton area. The business has just, I didn't include them all, but we've got many, many different testimonials from business customers that just absolutely love this service.
Do a lot of people still have their landline besides me?
You know, I'm going to be transparent. You know, landlines are becoming less and less. We do have, Jenna could probably talk about that a little bit more. That is probably one of our biggest churns. But what typically happens when somebody does that, they'll add other types of service. They'll either up their broadband package because they're using a different type of technology in replace of that. But we do still have a good, decent standing of our broadband and phone customers. We're seeing a lot of people on the business side that still want to have that physical phone. This hosted phone system we have can also be redirected to a cell phone so they can take that same technology and that great system into like a mobile or a work from home environment. It's really highly customizable. But yes, we do still have our regular landline customers. They're getting less though. There has been a little reason, just a side note. I actually just read an article the other day that there has been a surgence of parents that are my age that don't want to give their children a cell phone yet, but yet they still maybe have that little 1 or 2 hour window when they're home alone. They'll get a landline just so that they could get a hold of their kids. So I don't know. We'll see how long that lasts. It'll be interesting, huh? Any other questions on this slide or my previous slide?
I don't.
Okay, great. All right, moving on. So speaking of sales, I just thought it would be kind of neat to show you guys just a little bit of what we've done for our sales promotions and different things to try to encourage sales in the Wahpeton area. We try to do really locally based sales promotions. So a couple of the ones specifically that we've tried, and with great success, I should say, we did a $50 donation for every sign up to a local sports booster program. We marketed that at actually like games and sports teams. So we'd go to the places. We did volleyball, we did football. And we would set up a table and we'd have people sign up for service there. And then they got to pick the school that they would have that booster. So like if it was a Wahpeton versus Breckenridge game, they could pick which school they wanted it to go to. It was kind of fun. This last year, starting in July and just ended at the end of August, we upped our game. We gave a $100 donation to any of one of the local schools in the Wahpeton or Breckenridge, the partner cities exchanges. And so that was really fun because the schools got to take those donations and then apply them in any way that they wanted to do it. So, you know, we just wanted to do something that would also give back to the communities, plus get the word out about the wonderful fiber broadband infrastructure we're putting in. Just quickly, a couple other things. We do, we call it Fiber Friends, which is our refer a friend program, which is kind of fun. That's each side of the transaction gets a $100 bill credit. So it encourages people to do the word of mouth marketing, which anybody who is in marketing knows that's one of our most effective ways to get the word out. And then we've done a few different ways to reduce the financial barrier on initially signing up for service. Did I do that? Oh, she's back. Okay. I did a couple promotions this last few years. Our first few years, we did a 3 months free broadband sign up. So when they would sign up, they get 3 months free. And then they would have the regular pricing after that point. Currently, we are offering, we tried to just kind of change it up a little bit. We're offering $30 off for their first 12 months. So $30 off any of the broadband packages for a year. So that's also been very well received. All right. So next section I want to touch on is our community engagement. So this is really the good stuff when we're talking about being a part of a community. So Red River Communications, as Tom said, is a cooperative. So we take one of our 7 core principles is care for community very seriously. We apply those same philosophies in our expansion areas like Wahpeton. So just a few ways that we do this is, of course, the monetary donations. When somebody asks us for a donation or a silent auction basket, we're always willing to do those kind of things. We've worked with many community organizations that needed equipment or they needed service or they needed things where we could donate our time or equipment. We love to participate in community events. I don't know if you guys, have you ever heard of Chalkfest? It's one of the really cool events that Wahpeton has been doing lately. Yeah, we got to be one of the sponsors the last couple years, and we actually took it to another level this year. We did a Wi-Fi network for the vendors and the artists. So our team went out there. They set up a little Wi-Fi network that was outside, and everybody who was there could connect to that. And the vendors, of course, were excited that their credit card machines worked like magic and the artists could, you know, do their social media and all that kind of stuff there. So that was kind of fun. We also hosted numerous informational meetings. You know, we would set up, let people ask questions, sign up for service, those kind of things. We've developed partnerships with a few different technology-based companies in the Wahpeton community. You know, if there's something that's beyond our service capabilities, we will work with a local vendor as much as possible to do that. And then two of the last two programs that I want to talk about are specific to Red River Communications. So do you guys, with your electrics, have you heard of a Roundup program? Okay, so we have our own Roundup type program. It's called Common Sense. It's a 501c where people can elect to round their bills up to the next dollar. That money is put into that 501c, and then we take those funds and disperse them throughout the communities. And many of the organizations in Wahpeton have benefited from that. I've got a photo of the Richland Wilkin Food Pantry up there. They've received lots of different funds. They've replaced their roof with one of those grants. I mean, lots of cool things that they have done. And then finally, our Red River Scholarship Program, which we created 3 years ago, I believe, Donna? Yeah, 3 years internally. Yeah. So we give 12 $1,000 scholarships to graduating high school seniors. And it's for anybody who's a customer, their children can apply. And we've had multiple different children in the Wahpeton Exchange win that. And you can see there's me with one of the winners from a few years ago. And then Tom, he got to have the pleasure of doing it last year. It's always fun to give those out. So those are just a few of the many different things that we do to engage with the Wahpeton community, to make sure that we are there and we are present for those members or those customers.
So you have a pretty high percentage of people that take you up on the rounding up program?
Yeah, actually we do. Jenna, do you know...
between
60
and 70%
Yeah. So we're able to do quite a few of those. We call them awards. They could be considered a grant also because it's an application process. They fill out an application. We have a board of directors that is completely separate from Red River, that is consistent of our membership. They meet quarterly and then they disperse those funds. Pretty similar to like the Operation Roundup, Cass County Electric, you might understand that. So yeah, that's a really cool program, and we've done a lot of good in our communities because of it. Yeah. So speaking of a community engagement, I would be remiss if I didn't just take a minute here to show you some of the really great deeds that our staff do in our communities. So here's just a few sampling. I mean, there's many, many more. I could have, like Tom said, 50 more slides of all the cool things that we do in our communities. But I just wanted to point out some of our team members. They're members of fire and rescue squads. Aaron Olson, who is right here, he's actually on a dive team that they actually do summer and winter dive rescues. So if somebody goes underneath the water in the winter, that's the team that goes and helps them. Jenna, right here, our very own, she's a member of the Wahpeton and Breckenridge Chamber. She's a director for them. So she's directly working with the companies and the different businesses in the Wahpeton area, helping promote that community. Dennis, over here, he's a member of his local school board. So we know how much time and energy that takes, right? So we've got many, many more examples of that, but this is just a little sampling of some of the things that are amazing staff that we have. They do amazing work during work hours, but even after work hours, they're already doing even more. So my final point I want to just kind of drive home for you guys is really kind of my core of my role at Red River Communications, which is our PR and our branding efforts. When we first entered the Wahpeton market, we wanted to present ourselves as the community provider, just because our office, our headquarters office, is only about 15 miles away from this community. And, you know, we learned we had to make ourselves integrated into the community when we entered there, just like what we do in any other community that we enter. So we felt it was really important to have a physical presence there. So we opened an office where our customers can come and interact with us. And we staff this building 5 days a week, just like we do our other office. Our sales team headquarters out of here. So somebody wants to meet in person, one-on-one, they can do this. We also do in-home visits with customers as they want to sign up. But this was be the location that they could come to. And then we've made it really clear on our branding and that who we are and where we're located. So this is like a nice little lit sign lights up nice and bright at night so people can find us. We list all of our stuff on our door. So like say somebody would come in after hours and they're like, oh, how do I get a hold of them? I have a trouble. I need to get a hold of them. We list all of that very clearly on our outside of our building. And in contrast, I just want to show you what your current ILEC person or company is looking like in the community. So this is CenturyLink's current building in Wahpeton. As you can see, they still have it branded as CenturyLink. They can still go as CenturyLink. So we'll let that one go. But as you can see, there's still a little bit of disrepair happening. But this is a non-customer-facing building. They have no staff there. There's no information on the outside of the building saying, how do you get a hold of me if I have a problem? If a customer has an issue, there's nobody there to help them. So you can take that for what you will. We just wanted to show you the difference between our two companies of what we're presenting ourselves as the community leaders that we try to be. So with that, do you guys have any questions on my portion of the presentation?
I'm not seeing any. But
okay, excellent.
Thank you, Carrie.
Well, thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it. With that, next on our presentation is Jenna Lovegren, and she is our customer experience supervisor. She'll talk you through our customer experience.
Thank you, Carrie, and thank you for commissioners for having us here today. As Carrie mentioned, I am the customer experience supervisor at Red River Communications. I have done customer service for about 15 years, and I've been at Red River for 6 of those years. And really, my job is to make sure that our customers are having the best experience possible. So from the sales to making sure that their trouble tickets are taken care of, that's what my team is responsible for. As Carrie mentioned, I am on the board of directors for the Wahpeton-Breckenridge Chamber, and we are a very fast-growing community, and it's been exciting to be on the business side of it and on the volunteer side of it, helping grow together. So a little bit about me. We'll get started here. First, I want to talk about the multiple ways that you can connect with us. So you can find us about anywhere. You can find our website. We have a new robust website with online applications to sign up for service, submit a contact us form, chat and texting. We are available for either web chat or texting during the work hours. Phone and email are still our number one ways to connect with us, and that's where we find most customers do connect with us. Smart Hub portal, this is something that we have for customers to log in if they're a current customer, view their account, pay their bill, submit a trouble ticket if they're having trouble so we know exactly what account we're talking about and we can dive right into it. And then we're growing, but we still find that in-person office visits are very popular within our communities, and we really strive off of those two to see the customer sit down with their device, help them fix their iPad, help them fix their cell phone. So we really enjoy the in-person visits still at both of our offices. The next thing I want to talk about is our quality of service. And so we recently started working with Plus One as our partner on calculating our net promoter score. And if you're not familiar what a net promoter score is, it's really gauging the customer experience that customers are having with certain businesses. It's not just telecommunications, it's any kind of business who chooses to participate in this scoring system. They're calculated on a scale of negative 100 to a 100. And you can kind of see, you know, what is needs improvement, good, great, excellent. The way that we calculate this and where we're at today is we send new data every week. So I will send to Plus One every Monday morning all of the trouble tickets that we went on the week before, all the service installs that we went on the week before, and every phone call that came into our office. And Plus One will send out a text message to our customers. And they ask one simple question, and it's on a scale of 1 to 10, would you recommend Red River Communications to a family or friend? And so they have a fancy calculation that they come up with, but right now our NPS score is 68. We will not rest until we get up to the greater excellent. We are working on that every week. But in contrast, I want to just show you what Lumen or CenturyLink's NPS score is right now, and that is a negative 71 on the scale. And these can be found at comparably.com. You can find out anybody's NPS score, not just these two. But that's just kind of where we're ranking. And I want to talk about a little bit how we reach an NPS score like that. So we follow up on every trouble ticket and every service install that comes into our department. So 2 days after somebody is experiencing a trouble with their service and we've had a tech on site fixing their service, our CSRs are calling them back to make sure everything is still working great, make sure they don't have any follow-up questions. Same with install appointments. We will call the customer and just make sure after the tech is left that all their devices got connected. They didn't forget about a cell phone or an iPad that's not connecting to the managed Wi-Fi, right? We want to make sure that they're having a good experience, that they don't have any follow-up questions. So this is a stat I've pulled from our phone system. For the month of August, our CSRs made 468 outbound follow-up calls with our customers, equaling about 73 hours of talk time. 382 of those customers answered the phone to talk to our CSR. If they did not answer, we don't stop there. We send them a text or an email just saying, hey, call us if you're having any issues. We're just following up on your service. So we really leave that door open for them to give us a call if anything is going wrong.
Jenna, before yeah. you move on, how often is that NPS score, like, do you know, is that like an annual thing that you get? Do you guys get it monthly, weekly? How often
we
do does
it
that
weekly.
Change? So yep. you do it weekly and you get like a weekly
yep.
score?
Yep. Right now okay. we're getting a bi-monthly score, but we could certainly do weekly if we so chose. I will say the one thing that we have requested is anybody that rates us lower than a 6, which is kind of what they call a detractor, mm-hmm. They send that to me right away and I call the customer and just follow up as, did you not have a good experience with us? What's going on? How can we help you? How can we fix mm-hmm. you? That comes on a weekly basis that I follow up with those customers. But then otherwise they calculate our NPS score on a bi-monthly.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I was just curious. How responsive
yeah.
you guys can be to that. So that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this doesn't really apply to you guys specifically, but I wasn't familiar with this NPS score.
Yeah.
And you said that's available like for just about any business.
It's actually a net promoter score is across all industries.
Oh, sorry. I'll say that again. NPS score is across all business industries. So it's really interesting if you want to dive down into it, all of the different industries on what is, it's basically kind of like a credibility score is kind of what I would call it. But yeah, it's
what if a business doesn't send them their trouble tickets and stuff and they just have no score?
Right. There's- and some companies do choose to not calculate their score, and that probably tells you something too. So it's all about, you know, the self-reporting and
that's what I was
wondering. Yeah, it is. But they have industry standards across different groups. So there's like industry standards for internet service providers, which nationally, if you keep the big ones all in there, as you can see with like CenturyLink's number, it's historically really low. But if you go and look at the rural broadband providers, we traditionally have a much higher average net promoter score. And I think it's just the way that we do business differently. It's a really fun thing. It's something that's kind of come up the last 2-3 years. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Great question.
Any other questions on NPS? Yeah. Again, this comparably.com, you can go to this website and see the results of anybody that would have an NPS score out there. There is, you know, I was kind of just searching the credibility of that negative 71 when I was preparing this. There is companies, like you mentioned, that do not participate. So it will show, you know, not available or a zero for their NPS score until they choose to participate in that trend.
Okay.
Carrie talked a little bit about local commitment. I'm going to talk about how we are committed to our customers locally. So our staff lives and works in our community. All of our staff lives within 40 miles of our headquarters in Abercrombie, which is only about 20 minutes from Wahpeton. So really, if something goes wrong in Wahpeton, we have a trouble, we have a cut fiber for some reason, our staff can be on site within an hour. And so that's something that we really pride ourselves on. We're all local. We know each other. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. And so that is something that leads me into that. We have 5 employees alone in the Wahpeton Exchange. I live in the Wahpeton Exchange. Our lead technician lives in the Wahpeton Exchange. Our salesman, Wayne, lives there. I have not confirmed this myself, but I've heard from a couple different sources that our competitor, Lumen, has about that many employees in the state of North Dakota. So the coverage there, we really pride ourselves on that. Billing is also handled by our local team of customer service representatives. So we do not use a third party to bill our services. Our CSRs all take turns every month billing the services out. And so when a customer comes in and, you know, has questions on their first bill, they got their first bill, they want to just know how to read it or better understand it, they know the ins and outs and how to explain it to them. We're not referring them to a third party to ask questions about their bill. We are the masters, and we can explain it in terms that they will understand. And then, again, that true local presence, we have a walk-in office 5 days a week. We also offer 24/7 support. So we team up with a company called ISPN, and they are our after-hours support on evenings, weekends, and holidays. And we have worked really closely with ISPN to come to a level of service where they have access to our network, or our customer database, I guess, if you will. And if somebody calls in after hours, you know, questioning how much their bill is or asking a question about their TV service, things like that, ISPN is trained just as good as our CSRs to go over those basic things with them and answer the questions so they don't need to call back the next day or next business day. If ISPN cannot help the customer or cannot figure it out for the customer, or we need an on-call technician to go on site, we do have our Red River Communications technicians on call 24/7 as well. So if ISPN can't quite solve the problem, they will escalate it right to our outside plant tech, and he will call that customer and either go on site that night or the next morning if that's what the customer so chooses. I want to talk about how we go the extra mile. When we went into the Wauperton Exchange, we had very clear guidelines from our CEO over here that we are going to give it white glove treatment. And this is how we do it. So we pulled up our sleeves, we put on our gloves. We might seem like a small team, but we're very mighty in what we do, and we've kind of got it down to a science. So I know you're all familiar with the Lifeline program. We cannot offer that in our Wauperton Exchange yet. So we need that ETC status to do that. But we also go above and beyond in our cooperative areas on offering that Lifeline service. We know what good it can do to a customer that just is having a hard time affording telephone, basic internet. So Don and I, we've teamed up with local food banks and senior centers, and we would go there with pamphlets in hand, hand out, you know, meals, things like that, but also then take that opportunity to sit down with customers that might have more questions on how they can apply for Lifeline. We can help them apply for Lifeline. And it's kind of fun to get out in our community and meet those customers that are calling in and things like that, put a face to the name. And we would be very excited to do that in the Wauperton Exchange once we get that ETC status. We also offer personalized customer care beyond standard service. So our techs, we keep them quite busy with installs these days. So if a customer calls in, which happens very often, that their grandkids were over that weekend and they sat on the remote wrong and the input got switched and they can't watch their TV that next day, our staff is ready to go out there and just help them through those smaller troubles that we can fix. We also offer cellular devices still. So our number one cell phone that we sell is a flip phone. And so we will sit down with those customers and we'll teach them. Usually, you know, they're going from a really old flip phone to a new flip phone. So we have to still teach them how to use that new flip phone and the technology on that flip phone. We even have some customers that go to a smartphone, and those visits take quite a while, but we will do it and we enjoy it. The other thing that we talk about a lot is education, and Carrie touched on it. When we're selling services in the Wauperton Exchange, customers don't really know that their service is not good. With whatever they have, they don't know that it's not good service. So we spend a lot of time going over why fiber service is going to benefit them, is going to benefit their family from work from home, school from home, streaming. We also, you know, talk about even bringing fiber to your home can up the sale of your home one day, the home value. So we kind of cover that from A to Z. And I will tell you that my sales guy, Wayne, he also spends a lot of time in customers' homes after they've switched to our service, calling Lumen and CenturyLink trying to get their phone canceled because they cannot get a hold of CenturyLink to cancel their phone. So Wayne has found the magic potion on who to call and how to call. But he will go to do that, help these customers cancel their CenturyLink because these customers can't get a hold of anybody to cancel their service. So we also offer that service.
When the people that have switched, mm-hmm. are most of them porting their old yeah. phone number to yeah. you, so they are keeping the same number?
Yep. So you asked about landline. Mm-hmm. We still do a lot of ports. We do still port a lot of landlines, especially in the business side, but we still do. If a customer has a landline now, chances are they're going to keep their landline with us. So we do port it. Some, though, however, are ready to just drop that. And maybe they had to have a landline to have their internet service through CenturyLink, and it was a bundle deal, so they've always had that landline. We don't require a phone line for our broadband service, so when they switch over, if they didn't even have a phone plugged into the jack, we don't require them to keep it. So then that's when they run into troubles of, okay, now I need to cancel my CenturyLink. Yep. Okay. So that's kind of where we're helping out. But yes, if we port the number, that goes seamless because we are just taking that number from
that's
CenturyLink.
That's what was confusing.
Yep. Yep. Any other questions? Okay.
We're pretty good about interrupting.
Good. I like that. I wanted to share, just last week, we got this survey back from a customer in Wahpeton, and this really kind of encompasses our customer experience that we strive for. I'll read it out loud. Jamie says, everyone involved has been absolutely the best. The representative, the person emailing me to set up an appointment, putting the box on the house, diggers, setup person, and the customer service has been great. Thank you. So you can see that every facet of our business that this customer experienced has been great for him. And that's kind of what we strive ourselves on.
So I noticed you didn't mention the manager, though.
No. Weird, right? Just kind of want to back up, like Tom said, we want to back up what we're saying today. So I want to just talk about our stats and engagement on the customer service side of things. I did a little analysis in August. So I took every trouble ticket that came in to our business, and I did a average repair time. So from the time that the customer calls in with a trouble ticket to the time that the tech is on site repairing it. Sometimes we can also repair it in office with our in-network operations team. But our repair time ranged from 13 minutes to 4.5 hours. So we have same-day resolution on all trouble tickets. Now, note, if a customer called in and they said, well, I'm gone for the weekend or I'm going on vacation, you can come back, you know, whenever, or they wanted to schedule a specific time. That's not in these stats. This is just if the customer is home and we can get there, we will get there the same day and resolve their issues for them. We also send out voice of the customer surveys. So that's where that quote came back from on that last slide. We started this so that customers would have a platform to reach out to us if something wasn't quite right. We know that it's hard to call and complain sometimes for some people. So we wanted to offer a way for people to just tell us if something didn't go right. We ask questions like, was the technician on time? Was the customer service person friendly? Is your services working? Did we answer all your questions? There's about 12 questions. We have averaged 100% satisfaction on all return surveys. And so whether they have positive things to say about us or negative things, we still offer them a $5 bill credit. But we haven't had any negative things, which is really rewarding to share with our technicians and our CSRs that are doing the work every day. And then our phone call stats. So a big thing that I've talked about is people can't get a hold of Lumen or CenturyLink for the canceling their service, asking questions about their bill. In August, our five CSRs took 1,345 incoming phone calls. This is outside of those outbound calls that I showed earlier. 81.3% of those were answered within 10 seconds of a live CSR, live local CSR. The remaining percentage was answered within 30 seconds if maybe somebody was hanging up a phone call, things like that. But that is something that we are really proud of. That's a very good service level. Showing that customers can call and get a hold of us right away. There's no waiting in line. There's no queue. That's something that we're very proud of back home. So with that, if you have any questions on customer service, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll hand it back to Tom.
I'm not seeing any. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. Members of the commission, we're very proud of those stats and the image that we work and strive for with inside all of our service area, but most specifically right now today we're talking about Wahpeton. I'd be amiss if I didn't tell you, and as the chairman referenced, they're not really interested in my satisfaction or my involvement, but we don't get that without having a great team behind us. We get to stand here today being leaders of the company and my colleagues, and I think they did a great job of presenting that, but we have a very good team, and I'd just like to take this time to do a shout-out to them because that's how we get those kind of stats. With that, let's talk about some community support. And what I'm saying is this is community support for our case that we have in front of you. Again, this is all available in your packet that we leave here. I won't bore you with reading the letter, but there's a letter from the chairman of the Richland County Commission, Tim Campbell, longstanding relationship with the county commission. I think it bears witness right now to draw attention to the fact that in the Red River Valley, and I know we've had this discussion with the commission in the past, not a lot of private easements. We need to have a good relationship with the county because we're in public right away. A lot of drain tile and so on and so forth. So Tim Campbell, chairperson of the Richland County Commission, letter of support.
So a question to that. The whole commission support, or is he just signing it as the chair?
The answer is it went through the county auditor, and the chairman signed it. I don't believe the request went in front of the commission because we did not have the request in the correct window for it to go in front of them.
Okay, thank you.
Have I answered that correctly for you? Thank you. Brett Lambrecht, Wahpeton Mayor. He's also his day job, so to speak, or is that your primary? Richland County Emergency Management Director. Longstanding relationship with him, with emergency services down there, and the city mayor. Good words to say about us, with a lot of construction going on in the city limits over the last 4 years. So, good standing relationship there. Another interesting one we feel. We're very proud of this one. Katie Rauber. Executive Director of the Chamber of Commerce, and she's got good words to say about us there. But I'd also like to draw attention to experience that we've had recently. And Ms. Kleingartner talked about some of the services, specifically phone service that we provide, hosted, what we call a hosted IPPBX or a hosted business product. Katie and her staff at the Wahpeton Breckenridge Chamber of Commerce put out a request for proposals, if you will, looking for an updated communication system, and had various entities participate, of which we were one. And I will cut to the chase and say that we were awarded the ability to work with them. And I think that's one of the reasons she's really got some good words to say about us. But I'd also like to draw attention that the other ILEC that we talk about today, being CenturyLink, chose not to participate in providing any updated communication services for the chamber. Chahinkapa Zoo, Kathy Dykeman. A staple of Wahpeton. I think everyone's familiar with the zoo. Up until a couple years ago, they were having difficulties. They did not have the broadband connection they needed to be able to handle their business, be able to electronically monitor who's coming in and out of the zoo, as well as run their credit card and debit card transactions. We actually expedited some building and went across. If you're familiar with it, they're nestled down along the Red River, kind of in the heart of town, and with some difficulties with the natural gas locates and so on and so forth, that was a challenge to get to them. So we did that. Nice words spoken by Kathy. I know the chairman loves the North Dakota history. One of the researches that came relevant to me, Chahinkapa name is prevalent down in the southern end of the Red River Valley. And in its earliest days after the state was organized, Richland County was referenced as Chahinkapa County. So, all this, we want to leave you with this thought. The public interest will be served if you designate Red River Communications, the eligible telecommunications carrier in the Wahpeton Exchange, for purposes of receiving universal support. I'm going to speak a little bit about Lumen and CenturyLink in this exchange as well. I'm going to point out deficiencies about the other ILEC provider. There's been a lack of investment and missed opportunities. You say, Tom, what type of opportunities are you discussing? Connect America Fund Round 2. That's a federal funding mechanism for universal service support designated specifically for these areas that were served by what date backs to the old RBOX, if you will. Missed opportunity because that funding actually went to a wireless service provider in that exchange and did not go to Lumen. The North Dakota ARPA grants, Capital Project Fund, we spoke of that earlier. Red River Communications was fortunate enough to be part of that, to apply and be awarded and be trusted with those dollars by the state. Lumen did not participate. We have found that there is not Lumen infrastructure within Wahpeton's three newest housing developments. Prairie Flats, Rosewood Addition, and Legacy Lakes Development. Now, to validate that and to stand in front of you to be able to comfortably say that, we called in Locates to confirm this statement, and that is in the folder that Victor will be given as part of the data, where you will look in there, and it will clearly state conflict. No conflict, clear. Now, if you have mainline infrastructure, you're going to want to locate that and have that designated. Lack of serviceability of the Wahpeton Exchange. I believe that's what really brings us to this point today and why Red River Communications has been working for years to take care of this. We have evidence of poor maintenance, which yields poor service. With right now, I want to just allow a little bit of time for Ms. Kleingartner to bring us to this link. We're going to show you a graphical map. We're going to call it interactive. A shout out to the GIS team back at Red River Communications. Thank you, Carrie. We'll take just a moment here. And at the center of the screen is the Wahpeton community, if you look at that up there. And you will notice the squiggly line here is the Red River. Multiple white dots with a red outline. And those are interactive. And as Carrie will click on those, it will highlight a different picture on the right-hand side of the screen. And there's a couple of favorites. In the essence of time, I think there's about 15 in there, and this is all available to you when we're done, but Tom Stanelson does have a couple of favorites that I thought we should spend just a little bit of time on. And again, here is a pedestal. I'm assuming the commission is familiar. In the world of a copper environment, that's called a pedestal. You can see that's in somebody's alley right on the edge of their property, propped open, just about hitting somebody's siding. Not much maintenance has gone on there. If I can, at this time, I told you this was a graphical and tied to GIS. Every one of those dots is right on the map where that is. So if there's any interest in validating this, we can be of assistance. If your team is there or what have you, that brings you right to the address of where these pictures are taken. We're going to take just a moment here. This is copper infrastructure. You can see there's a pedestal. I don't think that cover is going to fit on there anymore, and I don't think that cover's been on there for a long time. Those are copper wires in there, some sort of copper junction. I think most people in this room understand copper and moisture and sunlight deteriorate. It's not going to make for good service. If you could, Carrie, I know she's got my favorite list. This one is a favorite. Yep, thank you. I've got a lot of favorites. We don't have time for all of Tom's favorites. This one here is in proximity. That's a larger pedestal. It's more of a junction box. And our representative, Dennis Mitchell, was told by the city of Wahpeton, the city of Wahpeton actually took one of their construction cone type things and placed that over that junction box because there was wires all over there. It was close to the city buildings, and they knew their communication stuff at one time was going through there. That has been like that for quite some time. If we draw out and go into the rural, do you have another one? Yeah, let's go to this one. Yep. Want to draw attention to this one. 11th Street and 4th Avenue, pretty major intersection in the Wahpeton community. You will find a pedestal here, portions of a cover laying there right along the sidewalk. That's a dangerous situation for kids or anybody walking by. Bare metal with copper is electricity. That's not a look. That's bigger than just a service availability issue with that. Now, I want to draw one more highlight as well with the data. As Carrie, go ahead, Carrie, you can click on that one. I want to draw attention to, there's a time stamp at the bottom of every one of these pictures that says exactly when we took those pictures. These are not something dated. These were all done in the month of September as we prepared to stand in front of you. Now, in this one, I got to take a little time to talk about this one. This is a larger junction of some sort of those copper wires. You can see the wires there. And this is on public right-of-way. There'll possibly be another picture showing that. That's probably in the other file. But I think most all of us are familiar in the valley as the snow melts, water, there's overland flooding, different things like that. So I can only assume, again, I did not design this plant, but this was designed to be high enough up that moisture would not get to that. That is a wooden 4x4, 6x6, something like that, that was meant to support this infrastructure. And you can see that that's broken off. We've got weeds. You can see the way the box is tilted there, the way the moisture or rodents would be able to, you know, go right in. I'm pretty sure rodents would love that. That's pretty good living for a rodent in there. But anyway, that's where that is. Now, I believe if you look at these pictures, they're going to have a date of September 3rd on them. And what we did is we actually, Donna was driving by just the other day on Tuesday and updated that picture. So in the file that will be left for Victor is an updated picture that proves that is still that way on September 22nd. So I leave that with you. We felt that was relevant. That is their outside plant. There are pictures in the rural, pictures inside the city limits. We think pictures are worth 10,000 words. Any questions about that data or the way we structured it?
I'm not seeing any.
All right. And again, that's an active link embedded into this PowerPoint presentation.
Tom, I'll just say, I know you probably don't need it, but if you're looking for like a catchphrase, I'll just throw out there Tom's top 10 for consideration.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that. As we work through here, I felt it was important to stand in front of you today and make sure that you understand this isn't about what we've just done. It's about what we're committing to do. And we want to talk about some goals here. I think that with the my colleagues part of the presentation, I think you understand we want to be the best. We expect to be the best, and we keep striving to be the best. And we want to be the best. We want to be the premier communications business for the Wahpeton community. We commit to always having a physical office presence in the community we're talking about today. That is one where customers can come in and interact with a live person. We commit to continue to support the economic development. I believe Carrie's presentation about that, about our engagement, about our brand, how we engage both monetarily and just participating in the community. We're going to continue to do that. This is another one. This is Tom's goal for Red River. In the future, we're going to have 10 gig service to every business in the Wahpeton community. We believe that's going to be important. We've talked about the amount of manufacturing. There's actually enterprises there. But this is we want to make sure in today's day and age that the heart of the community is the Commerce District. We're going to make sure they have the bandwidth that they need to succeed. Future expansion. We're going to be wherever Wahpeton continues to expand. In your packet, you will find where that is not necessarily true of the provider we're talking about today, CenturyLink. We're going to continue, just like our history, when I talked about our history, we're going to continue to research and find the right solutions for the Wahpeton community, both today, tomorrow, and well into the future. CenturyLink filed comments pertaining to this. Obviously, you all have them. I think it's worthy of today's conversation to draw attention to some of them. CenturyLink comments on the number of voice customers they have, and they reference that the Wahpeton Exchange is part of a cross-border, they reference, exchange. Members of the commission, we believe they're referencing Breckenridge, Minnesota. Breckenridge, Minnesota is also in the same situation with Red River Communication Services. We have mainline throughout that community. We actually serve 80% of Wilkin County, which Breckenridge sits in. The only portions of Wilkin County that we do not serve are an ILEC community or a regulated community, a rural ILEC, being served by Park Region out of Fergus Falls. We do not want any of your decision to be based on what services need to transpire in another state. We look at what they reference. CenturyLink must have the authority to continue to serve these customers. Are they referencing Minnesota? Are they referencing the 228? Where do they reference growth? If they want to be the carrier of last resort, why is that the statement? We think it's important. CenturyLink does not object. We think those words are important. CenturyLink is willing to cooperate with those efforts of making us an ILEC and ETC designation. We felt it was important to draw upon those words here today. Let's talk about the importance of the carrier of last resort and there only being one carrier of last resort. Folks in the Wahpeton Exchange, CenturyLink has a history of failing as a carrier of last resort. We think we've shown you that today. We think the issues that you have had to deal with customers of formal complaints here show that. In certain areas, CenturyLink has defaulted on federal deployment obligations. They have not met obligations on state levels. CenturyLink has a long list of registered complaints with this PSC. Dual status will only be a disruptor of the regulatory stature and the financial support that Red River Communications is going to need within the Wahpeton Exchange. Finally, we've taken up a lot of your time. We're to the point of what is our ask. Our ask is Red River Communications asks that the commission find, number one, that Red River Communication meets the requirements to be granted a certificate of public convenience and necessity as an ILEC in the Wahpeton Exchange. Number two, that this commission finds that Red River Communications meets the requirements to be designated an ETC in the Wahpenden Exchange. Also, that CenturyLink's Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity and ETC designation in the Wahpenden Exchange be transferred to a competitive local exchange service, and then the Wahpenden Exchange be deemed relinquished from CenturyLink's ILEC study area. Last but not least, find that Red River Communications also meets the requirements of Section 251 to be designated as an incumbent local exchange carrier for federal purposes under the Telecommunications Act of 1934 as amended. Members of the Commission, that is our ask. I'm going to leave you to ponder a question as we leave you today. If CenturyLink had a new application for ILEC status in the exchange of Wahpenden, and you know what we have shown you today, if you knew what you knew now, would you grant it? If you would not grant it, I ask you, why allow CenturyLink to stay ILEC status for Wahpenden, North Dakota? With that, members of the commission, we open it up to comments, questions.
One thing I wasn't completely clear on, and you talked about your activity in Breckenridge, CenturyLink's activity in Breckenridge. Are you seeking the same status through Minnesota for the Breckenridge area as you're seeking here for Wahpeton?
Mr. Chairman, the process has begun. Okay. We are not at the same point in the state of Minnesota as we are here, but the process has begun.
One more time. So then I guess my question to both staff and to you is, are there any objections to the evidence presented today, which would be both the recording and oral discussion, as well as the slide presentation becoming part of the record upon which a decision will be made?
Mr. Chairman, we are comfortable with our presentation as it is today. We are comfortable with that becoming public information.
No objection from staff.
Okay. So then the evidence presented today will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters to be brought up on the record?
No.
Pretty good timing, too. Thank you. This informal hearing is concluded.